Good afternoon, everybody. This is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another recording. With this episode today, I'm recording episode 215, and I appreciate you coming along with me for the journey. Today, for this particular episode, we are going to be talking about my guest, who is a who built one of the largest global SEO minds in Europe, and he is featured in many keynote speaking events, Forbes Digital, etc. And he did it by starting somewhere completely unexpected: German and English literature. From the halls of the University of Palermo to the scale-up floors of Zalando, Groupon, and Nespresso, to leading global digital marketing across B2B SaaS brands at once. Gaetano Romeo, hopefully I pronounced it correctly, has spent his career at the intersection of language, cultural, and digital growth. He's currently head of global digital marketing of Easy Vista and OTRS Group, managing 10-person international team across the US, France, Germany, Spain, and the UK, and Italy. He lectures at two Italian universities. He published 4 books, speaks on stages across Europe. He was just named the Hockey Stack AI and Go-to-Market 50 as the only Italian on that list. His latest work is a technical paper called Retrieval Augmented Authority, exploring how AI systems are replacing content marketing with something he called evidence engineering. Gaetano, welcome to the Localization Fireside Chat. It's an honor to have you with me.
Hey, Robin, thank you so much for having me, and the honor. It's on me, actually. I'm very happy to be here. So you missed Portugal as country in the Forest Vista and OTRS. Actually, it's a very, very country to us too. I wrote 6 books, not 4.
but I appreciate the correction. It's all positive correction.
Yeah. Yeah, the moment you were speaking, realized, oh my goodness, I'm really getting gold. How many things really I did in my life.
You know, I read about you, Gaetano, and I felt so impressed with your background, with your accomplishments, with your career track. And I thought this conversation would be natural with you. And I think will be natural with you because we've got a lot of things in common. I mean, when we live in the world we live in today, when I look at what you've done, I look at the industry that you've been through and the conversation that you're conducting on a day-to-day basis, it feels natural to have you on this podcast. It feels natural to add your voice to the voices that passed before you on this podcast and to enrich my audience with your thoughts and your ideas. Before we dig into it, Gaetano, I guess the first question that our guests on this channel gets is the easy one. Everybody in this world has got a story. What is your story?
Well, for you, my story comes really from far, really far, far away, from the other side of the world, let's say. And I was born and grew up in Palermo, which is the capital city of Sicily, the very famous Italian island. Then I moved because, as you already told, I graduated in foreign literature, especially English and German. And there was a time where I used to prefer to speak German than English. Actually, German was much, much easier to me to speak because I have lived there and my first language at the university was actually German. I moved to Berlin and, for instance, what I was thinking was just a couple of months, you know, to improve my German, to stay there. The moment I realized I was there, I never go back. I stayed there and started my journey, let's say like this. It was like my career, it's pretty different from the normal career that you start, because I started to do SEO in Italy. It was 2003, but was like, you know, I was playing, not seriously, was just doing stuff. But the moment I moved to Germany, and in that time, Berlin was a very important headquarter for startups. No, it was like everything was moving from London to Berlin. And as you told, Groupon, Zalando, they were moving there from Berlin, from Dublin to Dublin to Berlin. And Actually, it was 2006, Robin. It was really and a year ago. It was really another time. There was a lot of chance to grow. There was a lot of possibilities to grow. And I'm not a lazy person. Immediately realized there was a huge opportunity, and I took it, to be honest. I started to work, actually, you know, my first experience was working as an intern. I did an internship. I was an intern in the StudiVZ. Probably you don't know where is it. The StudiVZ was the German version of Facebook.
Okay.
It was totally the same. It was 2006 because two German students, they had an internship in Menlo Park. At the moment that they come back to Europe, to Germany, they did copy and paste the same. At that time, StudiVZ was much more popular in Germany than in Europe and Facebook. Facebook started to become famous and popular in Europe around, if I'm not wrong, around 2008. 2009, but from 2006 to 2008, this is StudiVZ was much more popular. You mean you had to realize that when I was in Berlin and people asked me my company, the name of my company, I told them I work for StudiVZ. It was like telling, "Oh my God, you are like Tom Cruise, to Brad Pitt, something like you know." It was really cool. It was amazing. Much because then I joined Zalando, Groupon. They were a startup at that moment, and I didn't feel the same feeling to StudiVZ when I used to tell people I work for Zalando, Groupon, and it was actually different. Actually, Berlin is a very famous, important city for me, for my family, because there I met my wife. She's from Belgrade, she's Serbian, and then we start to move together around Europe. We move from Berlin to Munich to Sion, French side of Switzerland, and we come back to Italy, and then I'm living in Milan for 16 years now, and this experience is very, very interesting to me because I don't consider myself as Italian. I consider myself as European because I like the European culture, the European breath, you know. And actually, I do speak quite all the most important European language because of me as an Italian speaker. Italian is my first language. I do speak English, German, French, a little bit of Spanish. I do speak Serbo-Croatian because my wife, I got two kids. My kids are perfect bilingual, so I told them they speak Serbo-Croatian. So this is more or less my background. I do love my background, to be honest. To be honest, I started SSO in 2003. That actually, it's digital marketing, speaking SEO was my first big love. Then, as you are knowing me, I started to get bored just to do SEO because it was very technical stuff. I started to want to learn more about the strategical side, you know, the strategical aspect, the strategy. It was very interesting. I started to learn and do it, Google Ads, everything related to social media. There was a moment where I acted like a growth hacker, growth manager, startup mentor. So now I'm working for Isivista for 2 years as head of global digital marketing, as you already mentioned. I lead a very important team. I'm very proud of my team because they are everywhere. They're based everywhere. You know better than me. At the end of the day, probably the most difficult part of our job is to manage people. It's not
absolutely
marketing. Absolutely. It's to manage people, especially when they do have a different background.
Oh, yeah.
Because to manage people from Italy, from Portugal, it's in Spain, Portuguese based in Spain, the Germans, it's totally different. I'm going to tell you a funny story. I do feel much more comfortable with Americans than with Germans, because they are completely different. With Americans, there is the Atlantic there is splitting us, you know, but I don't know, the culture, background, I feel much more closer than Germans and the North European in general. We are completely, completely different. So the way I act as a South European, well, I cannot use my sense of humor with Germans or with Swedish or with Norwegian, because they are going to get offended. Okay. With American, it doesn't happen, because they immediately get it. Mm-hmm. If I'm joking to some jokes, they don't understand. They don't understand the North Europeans. So we are completely, completely different. Europe is a small continent, but very peculiar. For example, if you imagine that just in the European community, we do speak 24 different languages. This is craziness.
Yeah, that's right. Now, for the audience, Anna holds a master degree in Euro-American language. Yeah. And German and English from Palermo. And he, by the way, graduated at 108 out of 110, so it's top of his class. And he's right, he speaks six languages. And that's according to the research I did, maybe more. I don't know, you've caught a few more. By the time I did the research, I have no idea. But the interesting part that you mentioned in managing people and switching to SEO, et cetera, you're an academic. You've written books, you know, you've studied, you've spent your life in almost beginning of your life in academia. And then you decided, okay, in 2003, I think you mentioned, I'm going to switch to digital. Do you remember why you switched from people to digital? Do you remember what triggered it?
Well, this is a funny story, very interesting. And everyone in Italy knows, because in Italy, in our industry, I don't want to tell famous, because I don't like this was, as I told you, Brad Pitt is okay. Famous, not Gaetano Romeo, but I'm very known, let's say like this. It was 2003, and I graduated in foreign languages and literature, but as a high school, I started to become a tourist guide. So my city, Palermo, is very famous for tourists, because Sicily actually, and I'm inviting all your followers and people are listening us to visit Sicily, because it actually is an amazing and nice island. It's worth value to visit it. And then I was working like a tourist guide, and for a web agency. It was 2003, and I remember the moment, you know, when you have this word that is following you for all of your life, and I always have this word in my head, can't get out of my head. I was going there, and suddenly I get in the office, and there was there the owner of the agency was, it was crazy, it was white, it was berserker, something like this. He was screaming, why? You come here, you are young, come here. I was 23, more or less. I don't remember. I'm getting old. Don't say so loud. Let's avoid to tell how old I am. I was very young, and I thought he was so nervous. Nobody was doing. Was searching on Google where for a combination of keywords related to our job, what we are doing, is something like tourist guide Palermo, tour operator Palermo, and he was telling where we are, why, and at that moment it was like, you know, something up in my head. It was like, this is my future. This is my future. And Robin, I was already working for 2 years in the touristic industry. I was already 2 years there. So I was starting to get more money. Actually, I was satisfied, but in that moment, something happened.
Yeah, the light came on. Huh?
Exactly. It was like, boom, like this. And I started by myself. You remember when we started, I told you, I did SEO for 3 years. It was like playing, you know. But then when I moved to Berlin and I started to work seriously for a company, you know, my first job, you know, how actually I found my first job in Berlin. It was like, you know, I was looking on it was a job rapido, the website, something, it's a very old job posting website, you know. It was Italienische Muttersprachler, in the German means Italian native speaker. I was just looking for Italian native speaker. There was that time. Now, if you go to Berlin, it's full of Italians. Probably there, because we Italians are like Japanese. We are everywhere, you know.
Okay.
And now probably there are more Italians than the Germans in Berlin, probably in this moment. But at that time, wasn't like that. And I found this job, and actually for StudiVZ, and actually they did teach me everything. From 2003 to 2006, I started to do something in the industry. Seriously speaking, we can say I started in 2006. And I'm very proud to tell that now people are speaking about social media, you know. Hey, Robin, 2006, I was already working for a social network.
You started it all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, from what I'm understanding is that when managing, you know, you managed like 6 markets simultaneously for EasyVista when you spent some time with EasyVista. How do you decide back then which market gets resources first? And do you remember, like, how do you keep quality consistency across languages? Like, is there a method that you applied then? And now you'd figured, oh, you know, technology can solve some of these problems. What have you learned in the past from that multilingual domain and consistency across multilingual domains?
Well, it's a very interesting question. First of all, there are much more 2 aspects to take in consideration. The first one is the technical stuff. Technical speaking, actually, to be honest, it's not hard job. It's very easy. It's very easy going with stuff. You manage by using Canonical and that's the real Canonical, and that it's actually very used. The problem, it's the cultural background, the nuance of the language. Because I'm realizing that I was taking it for granted. For example, you know, Brazil, they do speak Portuguese. It's Portuguese. Don't tell this to the European Portuguese that in Brazil they do speak
Portuguese. They don't like it.
On their own. They told me when they see the Brazilian one, it sounds rude. It's like a Portuguese is speaking rude, aggressive. They don't like it. Or, for example, Spanish is is spoken in 9, if I'm not wrong, 19 countries in the world. But for example, if you speak Spanish in Europe, in Spain, for car, they say coche, el coche. But in South America, they say el carro. So if you don't do this nuance, it's quite impossible. So, but stay in English, let's say with English. For British to America, it's not just matter of words, because, you know, I think more or less educated people, you know that British, they say biscuits and you say cookies, okay, you know. But the problem is the way how you address something. For example, for a call to action, you American, you are very aggressive because you are the country of sales, you know, you are very aggressive. Get your copy now. Get now, immediately. You know what? In the UK, but not just in the UK, even in Europe, especially North Europe, in this, you know, Europe, there are countries where English is very well spoken, like, you know, Scandinavia, the Netherlands, they do speak perfect English. But you cannot afford the same way as you do in America, because if you say for a European, get your copy now, immediately, oh, come on, come on.
Hold on, take care of yourself.
Hold on. Yeah. Don't be so aggressive to me. I want to take my time. Let's take the time. I want to take my time, please. I want to check everything. And then maybe if I want to, I will. And then don't forget everything related to GDPR, European Act. We are there. So it's not a matter of language, it's a matter of culture, background, wants, and so on. It's really, and we are used. We are used because, as I told you when we started, we are used because actually we are a small continent with 24 different languages.
Of course. And 400 million people, right? Am I correct?
I think so.
So more it's or about less that.
Should be around no. there. Yeah.
No, you wrote a technical paper with a striking line. I think I've read what looks like a striking line to me. We are moving from content marketing to evidence engineering. Would you mind unpacking this? Explain it, if you don't mind. And what does the evidence engineer actually mean in practice?
First of all, it's very important to underline that SEO is not dying. But has changed a lot. It's not the same job I used to do when I started, because if I compare my job when I started and what we are doing now, it's completely another job. And we never used to speak about reverse engineer or something like this, you know, was like becoming much more technical. And so, because the job is becoming always more and more difficult. And why? Why is it becoming more and more difficult? Because till 3 years ago, before ChatGPT, was like, it's very funny. We in the industry, it's like we say, you know, normally we say before and then Jesus, you know, Christ. But now it's. before and then ChatGPT, because everything has changed when they suddenly arrived in the market. Everything has changed. Before ChatGPT and the large language models in general, the goal was just to rank on Google, to simplify, to be synthetic. Now the goal are two, actually. And the way we reach this goal, it's not the same. The first goal actually is to rank on Google, because it's statistical speaking. It's always the most important resource, because don't believe people telling that SEO is dead and people are just using LLM. Because it's different when you use LLM, you are in another moment of the funnel. You are in another stage of the funnel. The goal in the LLM idea is what I published today on LinkedIn, is to get cited, not to rank, but to get cited. And how you do? Actually, it's different. The way you were speaking, Robin, correctly about content. The way you route a content now, it's well, I don't want to tell a completely different, but kind of it's very different, because especially if you come from a journalism career, if you are a journalist, it's very hard to understand, because you know the typical 5W, where, what, and so on.
That's right.
The pyramid.
Now the 5Ws.
It's everything has changed, because you normally in the past we used to start with the story to describe the situation. Now you have to put immediately the heart of the information immediately, because the LLM needs to find it immediately. So the way you write contents has changed totally.
Yes.
And but the bigger problem is it's different from every LLM. We want to get cited because ChatGPT is not the same as Claude or Gemini or Perplexity.
Yeah, everyone is
the
different.
It's different. Gemini is much more focused on different aspects that at the end of the day are not the same for ChatGPT, because the way how they have been created, actually it's different. So the job has totally changed. It's very hard, complicated. The only thing that we can do, it's always keep on testing and keep on studying, always.
Never give up,
but everything has changed. And for localization, that is your main topic, AI is helping us out in a very in amazing way. It's amazing how we use it, but I'm a great fan. I can tell you, I'm human in the loop addicted.
Because, oh yeah, I mean we have to.
Yeah, we have to, because if you don't take a look, if you don't drive the machine, if you don't own the machine, you will get for sure problems. For sure, 100%.
You have to be in charge of technology.
For sure.
You have to be in charge of technology.
So, So,
Gitaro, you had a statement which is really intrigued me as well. There's something you came up with. I'm not sure if you came up with, but it's attributed to you. It's called atomic evidence fragment. What is that? Do you remember that?
Well, unless it was like I was telling before, it's to understand actually that every large language model is not the same.
It's not the same, no.
If you want to be sure to get the results, to achieve results, first of all, tap KPIs at the beginning, because
you have to
KPIs, yeah. Set up KPIs. And for example, I'll give you an example. The big problem, you know, what is it? For example, we in the industry, we are using Claude, because actually, if you ask me, the best LLM for us, for sure, is Claude, but it's not used by normal people. So actually, at least in this moment, we don't need to get cited on Claude. We need on ChatGPT, on Gemini, and Perplexity, because normal people, when I say normal people, I don't want to tell them we are superhero. We are just people of the industry.
More commonly used, how's that? More commonly used.
Exactly. The normal users, let's say like this.
They're going to ChatGPT, right?
Yeah, ChatGPT and the Gemini.
And I don't hear much about Perplexity, but I think more people are going to ChatGPT and Gemini, because it comes with the Google platform, for one, and the other one is a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, especially Gemini, for example, say if you have already a mail on and you are using the Google Workspace, you already have
You don't have to pay
for
extra.
free. Exactly, and then you can use it.
Now
I discovered
on the Geo, that's the generative engine optimization. Generative engine optimization is still a new concept for a lot of people, right? So it's not, some people like you, probably you're more immersed in it, you're more expert at it, but many, many CEOs of many companies, they probably think, what is Geo? So how do you, for those listeners out there, the audience, some of them are not familiar with Geo, how do you explain it to a CEO who's listening to this conversation right now? What would you say to them?
Well, this is another very interesting question. And it's very, I want to underline that we are doing spontaneous. We didn't do a lot of preparation.
No.
This is really a topic, hot topic in the industry, because they are two separate, teams, let's say like this, because there's one SEO team that is very connected to the past, linked to the past. They don't want to admit that something is changing, or actually has already changed. And they just say GEO is just a new future. Let's say like this of SEO, like, you know, SEO, you do link building, for example, and a GEO, it's a new, you know, I don't want to say a new trend, trend, but kind of. I don't belong to this team. I belong to the team who look to the future, and not to the future, actually, because look to the future, it's a mistake, to the present, because already everything has already changed, Robin. And GEO, of course, is something related, connected to SEO, but to me, at least, I didn't drink from the Holy Grail, you know, but this is
in US and Canada we call it the Kool-Aid. We didn't drink the Kool-Aid.
good to know. I didn't know. In my humble opinion, let's say like this, in my humble opinion, this is another job. This is another job, and if you have a strong SEO background, of course it's helpful. Because everything comes from there, start from there, actually. But it's a new job, and partially, I already replied you 10 minutes ago when I was speaking about the new way of doing this job, because the goal is different. If the goal is different, because SEO is ranking on Google, GEO is to get cited in LLM and Google AI mode.
Correct.
At the end of the day, Google AI mode is another LLM, actually. If the goal, I think you agree with me, Robin, if the goal is different, the job has to be different. Because we can't reach two different goals by doing the same job.
Yeah, no, absolutely correct. So, now, I think a little bit here, and this is just me, again, in my own humble opinion, I think we are pushing geo conversation way too early, because it depends on how fast the users are switching from the legacy platform, Google, Bing, and the rest, and the rest of the search engines to geo to find things. You know, if I want to go to watch a movie, I'm not going to my ChatGPT watch what's playing. I am going to my Google search engine, and I'm typing, hey, I'm going to theater, what's playing tonight? And so, but to create the hype, the noise, the conversation around Geo now, and move a lot of investment money in terms of allocating or marketing dollars into Geo versus where still the bulk of the search is happening in the engine, as you mentioned earlier, I think a little premature, but it doesn't mean we can't have a conversation. We should have a conversation about Geo, and we should keep it in the back of my mind, or in our front of my mind, as to where this is, where the world is going to be going eventually. But if you are a bank, you're a pharmaceutical company, and you're thinking this is going to move tomorrow to Geo, not really. Some would, maybe like 1%, but you still have a 99% running on a regular search engines. Am I correct?
Yeah, totally. Agree 100% if you think e-commerce, for example. If you are in e-commerce, you don't move to GEO. It's always SEO because people are searching there. And then you touched the point, a very important point, in your humble but very important opinion, actually. The statistic actually says that people are still much more using Google to search. And in our mind, probably we are forcing us to believe that everything has already changed. But at the end of the day, actually, to be honest, we are very far away to this change, to this shift.
I think we're speeding up the process. I don't think the process is moving. The velocity of the change, it's in a perception, is different than reality. Perception is that we're moving very fast in terms of moving between search engines to geo. And the conversation that we're having right now is to calm people down a little bit. We're not moved yet to geo, but it's important to talk about it. It's important to understand what it is. It's important to be educated on it. But don't go ahead.
Get ready for the future in a few words.
Absolutely. Now, you gave a talk about leading multicultural SEO teams, and I think I read somewhere that you gave the talk where in I can't remember the location that you did the talk in, but you gave an up about leading multicultural SEO teams because this is very important, and you operated one. You ran one. What is the one thing that surprises you leaders most? Now, when you've given these talks, there are some surprises that leaders get surprised with because they're getting new information. What's your first take on a truly international team? What would a truly international team look like in an SEO environment?
Yeah, I remember was an interview, probably you saw on YouTube or on my LinkedIn, was an interview.
Yeah, actually it was on YouTube. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I was on YouTube, and actually I really did appreciate this because sometimes to speak about human people, not always about the technical stuff, I really do appreciate it because people, human beings, are much more important than everything. At least this is my opinion. Well, as I already addressed before, it's very hard to have the same behavior with everyone because, for example, in my opinion, and in my situation, that in my more than in my opinion, if I manage people from Portugal, from Italy, and people from Germany, it's very different. Not just where they coming from, but the age they have. It happened now. Something has changed. Till 5 or 6 months ago, I don't remember properly, kind of more or less we are there. For example, I'm turning 47 next week, actually, Wednesday, Friday. And I was managing people 10 years, for example, 10 years in Germany, more than me. And sometimes, and the background aspect, it's the normally, I don't know if you know, but normally, the North European, they think that we as Italian or the South European in general, we are lazy people, you know. To get the respect from them, it's not so easy, because sometimes as Germans feel, how can I say, they feel, I don't want to say better than you, but kind of, you know. Or manage people, it's very hard because you had to be always a good leader. You had to lead people. You had to respect them. But you are always to demand respect from them, especially when they are older than you and they come from a geographical area that normally, if you want to fight against the stereotypes, you know, it's very hard. So the suggestion that I can tell you to you and the people that are listening to us, it's, you know, normally always people getting suggested, telling, you know, it's kind of, be always yourself. It's not correct. Because you can't be always yourself. Because you can't be yourself if you are Italian with a German person and vice versa.
You have to modify your behavior? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. You have to handle your behavior. Depends on the people you are. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So avoid to be always yourself. You can't. Because if you want to be a good leader, you have to be always the person who respect and you give respect, you demand the respect. But you can demand the respect if you are the first one giving respect.
That's right.
And to me, it's a little bit easier because, you know, I do speak all the languages in my team. When you speak the language, it's a little bit different because speaking the language, at least you are a little bit in the culture. And I have lived in Germany, in Switzerland. I moved from my island to the North Italy that actually it's like, I don't know, moved from Texas to New York, another world.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm used to speak, to have something to do with people that they have completely different background of me. But I really assure you that it's not always like this. There is a lot of people who they don't understand how to manage different background.
100%. No, I agree with you. Now, for the audience, and as Gaetano mentioned earlier, he wrote 6 books, and I mentioned four, so I apologize for that. I missed 2, obviously, sincerely apologize for this, but 6 books. But you wrote a specific book in 2020 on LinkedIn algorithm. It came out in 2020. If you were writing this book today in the era of AI-driven fees, generative content, what chapter would you add and that does not exist today, that does not exist 5 years ago?
Small spoiler, actually I'm doing. I'm writing the new. Yeah.
I didn't know. See, I'm reading now.
Yeah. Because actually, you are the first person who I'm telling this secret.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, because you know, I don't know if you know. Probably you know. In November, algorithm has totally changed.
It did actually.
My previous books, I can give you if you want, you can understand Italian, but it's, you know, it's good to do fire, to have a fire, you know, because
yep.
If you have cold, you know, you just taking fire because actually...
It doesn't work anymore? Is that what you mean?
No, not at all. It doesn't work anymore.
Because technology has changed?
Totally. It's totally different. We have this Brew 365, the new name or the new algorithm. And, you know what, Robin? It's like always, in all his life, LinkedIn always get obsessed to fight against influencer because they don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. Sorry, was my wife asking something? Because
that's okay. No worries.
She didn't know we were already.
We're recording live. Don't worry. These things happen.
It was like fighting influencers those days. Likes, for example, no more likes. They don't take in consideration likes. A save is 10 times more important than one like. And a comment is very important. Because why save? Because if you save, it means that for you, the content is very important. Like, as is it's becoming much more important the dual time. If you mm-hmm. spend the time on reading and you stay there, it means that for you the content is very important. And now, Robin, it's very important, has to be a match between your profile, so your description, what you do, and your contents. Because if you tell you are, I'm an expert SEO, work in the industry, go to market, localization, blah, blah, and then you speak about the problem of life, you want to act like a mental coach, LinkedIn doesn't care about this, okay? Doesn't care. Well, I will use a ChatGPT or Gemini to translate in Italian, from Italian to English, and I'm going to send you my new book.
I really would like that. Sorry about that.
Live. We are recording live, so everything can happen. Are you okay?
I'm very sorry about that. These things happen.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. First was my wife, then your coffee. So
no, especially when I'm talking all day. You know, these things do happen.
Yeah. You told me. You told me already.
So I like your offer. I like your offer, though.
I will for sure. This is the great advantage that we are getting from the new era of AI. And get to the point, yeah, it's the new algorithm, it's focused on AI. And to be honest, they don't care. As Google, they say, they don't care if you write content using AI or not. What they yep. care is if the content is helpful. And how they realize if helpful or not, not by checking how many likes you have, but if the people comment, share, and save.
That's very important. Likes don't count anymore.
Yeah, no, the vanity metrics at the end of the day. It was just vanity metric.
Yeah. No, let's look down the road, if you don't mind.
Let's take the time you need it. It's okay.
Again, my sincere apology.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. And don't cut this because
no,
this
is real. We'll cut this.
You will cut it.
Don't worry. So if you were to
cut
fast
my
forward.
Wife too.
No, God forbid. God forbid. If you were to fast forward, if you don't mind, Gaetano, for 5 years down the road, 5 years from now in the future, what does the job title, head of a global digital marketing, actually look like? Does it still exist? Or does AI collapse it into something else?
I think it does exist. It will exist. I think so, because digital, for its nature, you know, for its nature, digital is the future. The present and the future. Yeah. I'm not afraid, to be honest. Maybe it might change in something like, it can collapse something like growth, handle growth manager. I don't know, something like this. But till so far we are doing digital activities, you need a head of digital.
Okay.
So I think in 5 years we will be there. I don't think that we are gonna to avoid to use digital in 5 years. So cross fingers, because I have family, 2 kids, please. Cross fingers, let's pray.
Let's pray it stays there, right?
Exactly.
And for the language services and localization companies on the audience right now, they're listening to this, many of whom are wrestling with AI translation and how to position their value. What is the one piece of advice you'll give them?
This is a very important question, because I can tell you, me, as head of global digital marketing, I don't want to have just a vendor. I need a partner, because if I don't need a translation, you know, when there's a typical... 5 cents per word, you know, very vintage mode. No, I need you helping me out to go through the country. I need you telling me, no, this is not right. This piece of content you want to translate, it's not properly for the UK. This is good for Canada, for example, not for the UK. We don't need other vendors. We need partner. let's act as a partner, not as a vendor, because we are full of vendors. We don't need other vendors to add.
Yeah, you need an advisor, you need a partner. You
yeah,
need
exactly.
A, somebody partner, to give you a advisor, wisdom.
Yeah.
And guide you through whatever the multicultural dimension that you're trying to solve.
Exactly. We need to brief the local culture if we That's don't right. have people in store.
I know this was spontaneous, to be honest with you, Gaetano, and we sort of pulled it off with a couple of small interruptions, which we'll cut off. But I really appreciate your time with me today.
I was very happy because it was spontaneous. We did immediately. And it was really a great honor to me. And thank you so much for having me again.
I really appreciate it if you can come back again. I really love our conversation
Whenever
together.
You want.
The conversation
Whenever
is absolutely
want.
Stunning. I really like it. And you know, for 2.5 million viewers, I'm thinking some of them will get some good ideas out of this conversation, which I really appreciate your time with me today. Thank you so much again.
2 million people, please add me on LinkedIn. I want more followers.
Yeah, actually, I did add you on LinkedIn. I'm not sure. Yeah, we're connected. I think we're connected.
No,
yeah.
I mean the 2 million people, please add me on LinkedIn.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we probably should tell them, connect with us on LinkedIn.
Let's do it.
No, I really appreciate your time and the laughter and the easy conversation that we had today.
Yeah.
And educational, by the way, very educational conversation. I really appreciate your time. And it's late in Italy, I know. And you stayed up for this, so I appreciate it. It's Friday night.
Well, actually, it's 10:05, but it was actually this day between me, you, and your followers. It was a good excuse to escape from my kids.
Hopefully, we didn't wake them up.
Don't say so loud.
Don't speak too loud. Oh, I love this. This is great. And if I ever go to Italy, I'm going to look you up.
Ah, for sure. You are my guest.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And you're always welcome. And on the channel, anytime you want to return back. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Gaetano Romeo for joining me today on this journey of recording episode 215. I thank him very much on your behalf and my behalf. And I want to thank you also, if you're watching us on YouTube, thanks for watching us. If you're listening to us on the download channels, thank you so much for listening in. And if you're reading our blog, where I summarize these conversations on robinayoub.blog and subscribing, I really appreciate your time with me. I really appreciate your contribution and your support. And I will see you at the next episode. Gaetano Romeo, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you at the next episode. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.